This is Vatican Radio. The Catholic Diocese of Southwark in southeast England has a new auxiliary bishop, Paul Mason, who has served for the past 2 years as the Episcopal Vicar for Kent. Bishop Paul's ordination took place in St George's Cathedral, Southwark, on May the 31st, the feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Originally from the north of England, Bishop Paul worked in Turin and London before training for the priesthood at the Venerable English College in Rome in the 1990s. He served for a decade as hospital chaplain to St Thomas's and Guy's Hospital Trust in London before taking up a position as pastoral director at Allen Hall Seminary in the Diocese of Westminster. Shortly before his episcopal ordination, Father Paul talked to Philippa Hitchin about his new job and about the challenges facing the church in the Diocese of Southwark.
Let me explain. The Archdiocese of Southwark is split into three areas, which is South-East London, South-West London, and Kent and the Medway. So I'd be looking after the Kent and the Medway, which was Bishop John Hines' area. He retired in January 2014, and so Archbishop Peter Smith asked me to step in as Episcopal Vicar for the area until Bishop John's successor was appointed. That's taken just over 2 years.
Tell us a bit about that area that you're looking after. What are the main issues that you're facing there?
You'd find in that area of Kent now, a lot of the rural population has moved on. So at one point you'd have a number of mass centres in Kent to serve the Catholic population. Now you'd find a number of those who have moved on, perhaps moved up into London, and so the population has moved quite a bit. Great influx of people from Eastern Europe, so you find a lot of Polish people. So there's really quite a rebirth of Catholic practice in many areas, because although some people have moved out, traditional Catholics have moved out, there is this new influx of Catholics from Eastern Europe, and that really is bringing a new life to many churches in the Kent area.
And yet bringing also challenges with it.
It does, because trying to help them integrate, many places will have their own mass in their own language, which in one sense is very good. It helps give community cohesion, they can gather together. But in another sense, you do want people who are coming into the country to mix into the local parish and the local population as well. I think that might take a generation or two, but the fact that people who come into this country, they send their children to our schools, they end up mixing and integrating anyway. Perhaps it just takes time.
In that area of the south of England, I think also a number of the resettlement of migrants and refugees has been taking place there, hasn't it?
It has, yes.
And that's, again, causing tensions, I imagine, with the local population at times.
There are certain pockets where you will find that there are those who believe that immigrants coming in are taking jobs and taking houses. I don't know how true that is. I think that sort of attitude can settle in regardless of it being based on any fact. What can happen is that there can in some areas be some tension on social services, places for housing, but it's not right across Kent. You just find certain areas, certainly around the Dover area, I know, sometimes it can put a strain on local services. But trying to avoid giving people who've come over a sense of, they're taking up space or getting in the way, I mean, that's really a challenge. We've got to try and make them feel welcome, people who've come in as immigrants, and try and give them a welcome where best we can. But it's not always easy to do.
Try to see them as a blessing rather than a burden, as Pope
it is.
Francis
I mean,
has said.
Indeed, they do bring challenges. The ones who are, if they've come over from Syria, yes, they of course they're going to bring a challenge, but it's a challenge we should be prepared to roll up our sleeves and respond to positively. We're very fortunate. How many of us living a comfortable life is no fear? We've got a generation of people who've never had to worry where their next meal's coming from, whereas other generations have. We don't know what it means to be hungry, to be homeless. And I think just
although
to stop,
there are plenty of homeless people on the streets,
and indeed
I imagine
there are,
even in your area too.
And indeed there are, but not in numbers that would make us fully aware of that could possibly be me. I need to be more sensitive to the needs of those who've either suffered natural disaster, political disaster, if you're looking at war in Syria, and trying to understand what it must be like to be in that situation where you've lost your home, you've lost your family, all of those things which help make up your self-identity. They've just suddenly gone, and it's something that parishes in the Kent area are sensitive to and to be aware of when communities are coming in, to try and reach out to them with that spirit of, that could be me.
What else can you do practically as a church? I mean, have you got particular initiatives running to try and welcome these people?
I went over not so long ago to the jungle in Calais. And one of the difficulties, I think, is coordinating all of the goodwill. There is a lot of goodwill, people sending carloads of goods, of clothing, of shoes. And trying to coordinate that, it really is quite a professional thing to do. And I get a number of calls from well-meaning parishioners, what can we do? And I always feel rather helpless because, it's very difficult to go and make a response without just adding to the problem. So given that the church doesn't have infrastructure to respond to these disasters or people coming into the country, I encourage people to look at the agencies who are out there, who are geared up to do this. The one that we do encourage would be to make a donation to CSAN, which is the Catholic Social Action Network, and they will be able to put money where it's needed and on the front line.
What impression did the lives of people living over there in the jungle make on you personally?
Well, you go to a civilized country over to Calais. I've been many, many times, and you might go over to City Europe to buy your duty-free goods. Yet there is a whole hinterland there to Calais, which you would never really step into. And now you step into it, and it's like stepping into a shantytown. I mean, it is stepping into a shantytown. You go there, it's, lots of tents, buildings made of corrugated iron, of boxes, no plumbing, no services. The local refuse service, they don't come and collect the rubbish, so it's just being burnt in piles. It's rather heartening when I went over that in the middle of all of this, they'd actually built a church out of the boxes and corrugated iron and bits of timber. And, it was being used by people of all faiths, and they were going in there. So in the middle of all of this chaos, it was wonderful to see that somehow, people were being able to at least find a place for some solace with their faith and a time in prayer.
Were you able to go in there and pray together with these people?
I went in there. And a number of visitors go over there to try and look at and get a sense of what the issues are. And I think most people who leave, you do get a sense of a certain helplessness. You want to be able to do something, and trying to find out what that something to do is not easy. There's no quick response to this. And I suspect it could get more difficult with people being displaced. It's not something that's going to go away overnight. It does need a longer-term solution of how we integrate displaced peoples.